Good morning, brothers and sisters. Let us pray so that we commit our time to the Lord. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning. We ask you to open our hearts and open our inner eyes to see you and to see how great, precious your salvation is. How precious you are, our Savior and Lord. Now we commit the speakers, the listeners, every one of us, may you anoint us so that as we share your words, you are in the midst of us, revealing your own words to us, so that we can know you and love you and enjoy you and give glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I would like to look at three very important questions. So as we share, I ask you to pray for me, because I do need your prayer in order to so that we can share his words and have fellowship and know him. And also pray for the brother and sister next to you so that we can all benefit from the sharing. And pray for yourself as well so that you won't be missed out. The three very important questions I would like to share is, what is the saving faith for me to receive eternal life? Second one is the eternal life I receive eternally secure? The third question is, how can I know I have eternal life? So first of all, what is saving faith? What is the faith that saves a person from hell to receive eternal life from God? Actually, this is what I shared a year ago when we were still in the Sunday school room. Let us review this, because this is the foundation what we are going to think about this morning. What is saving faith? In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it said, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Here I talk about a person believes in Jesus, saving him, and receives Jesus as his personal Lord. Believing Jesus saving me means, on one hand, I see God's righteousness and admit myself to be a sinner and deserve eternal death. On the other hand, I believe in Jesus forgiving all my sin by Jesus' sacrificial blood shed for me on the cross. My relationship and attitude towards sin change. I hate sin more and more and desire to turn my back from sin, walking towards Jesus' holiness. Receiving Jesus as my personal Lord means I know that Jesus loved me and he is the Lord of the universe, so that I am willing to receive him as my personal Lord. It does not mean that I am immediately full strength and full faith of absolute submission to him, to do everything the Bible asks me to do. Neither meaning that I have all the courage to be the martyr for him at once, but meaning that I'm willing for Jesus to be my personal Lord, and I have a desire to follow him. I have a decision made to follow him because I know he loves me and he is great God. In short, when a person has saving faith, his attitude and relationship with sin and with Jesus has a foundational change. This is saving faith. When a person has saving faith, all his sins are forgiven by God, and a great and real miracle is working on him. That miracle is that God gives him eternal life. In other words, this person has a new birth. He is born again. He is born of God and becomes God's very precious child. That means we can be sure eternal life is not started when we die and go to heaven in the future. It starts at the time we believe in Jesus. Although our physical eyes can't see when this happens, this is very real and is the miracle by the great power of the gospel of God. This is the gospel of good news from God. On the other hand, there is a very bad news from the Bible. If you don't have the saving faith in Jesus, you don't have eternal life from God. You will have eternal death and will go to hell because of your sin. No matter whether you are brought up from Christian families or very familiar with Bible stories from young, or attend Sunday school and services since young to old, or how nice a person you are, or having a very successful and happy life in the eyes of others than your own, or even you have been baptized, or you mentally agree with all the gospel truth, all this can't save you. Even you agree with all the gospel truth mentally, it can't save you. Only you have saving faith. Otherwise, you will go to hell because of your sin. Someone can agree with all the gospel truth, but his attitude towards sin and Jesus hasn't changed. He don't want to decide to follow Jesus and receive him as his personal Savior and Lord. These are what I shared last year on the saving faith. With this foundation, we now look at the second important question, which is eternal life I received through saving faith eternally secured? Or someone worded the question like that. Will a person lose his eternal life? Or once a person saved, is he saved forever? Or will a person lose his salvation? There are some people, even Christians, think that a Christian can lose his eternal life because they said this. This is what I see. This is what I see some Christian, original Christian, and later they are no longer a Christian. That means a person can lose his salvation. However, we should not base our understanding of God's truth on human experience and observation. It is because our human observation and interpretation of the observation can be wrong. We need to establish our understanding on God's truth based on the Bible, His own word and revelation. Someone said this, I saw a Christian but later committing very serious sins. That means a Christian can lose his eternal life. Not really. Some may not someone he may not save at all at the start. This person, he can say or can think he's a Christian, saying that I have been baptized when I was an infant. Or you think he was a Christian, but he never is. Some may be saved at the start, but can sin later. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, talk about a Christian had his father, a father's wife. In 1 Corinthians. And probably he repents later, mentioned in 2 Corinthians. So some Christian is real Christian, but can commit serious sin. David's adultery and murder, but followed by repentance. So committing sin doesn't mean he loses his salvation. Someone say, I saw a Christian, but now seeing that he does not believe in Jesus anymore. That means a Christian can lose his eternal life. Not really. Perhaps he has never been saved as discussed before. Or he has been saved at the start, but now forsake his faith due to hardship, disappointment in life. But he might be later restored by the Lord. For example, Peter's denial of Jesus, but was restored later. How about someone say this? I saw a preacher, but later saying that he did not believe in Jesus anymore, even until he died. That means a Christian can lose his eternal life? Not really. Firstly, perhaps this preacher had never been saved as discussed before. He might have a lot of religious zeal and religious work, but never had eternal life and spiritual service to the Lord. Or he has been saved at the start, but sinning or forsaking faith even until he dies. Some Christian might commit sin until they die, or at the point, no chance of repentance before death. In Acts chapter 5, talk about Ananias and Sapphira. They probably are saved, but died in God's discipline due to deceiving the Holy Spirit. All these examples show that we can't answer the question of eternal security of the salvation just based on human observation and possible incorrect interpretation. We need to look at what the Bible says. What God's Word say about this? The Bible talk about eternal life is given in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We see here, the new life is an eternal life. If it can be lost later, because of sinning later, then it is not eternal, but temporal life. The new life is a gift, because the Bible said he gave his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This new life is given, but not lent. It's not lent to you. It's given to you. No one receives eternal life with faith, and can be taken back later because of lack of faith. Because this life is given, it's eternal life, it's not lent to you. In John chapter 10, verse 27 to 29, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Will never perish, will never be taken away from God. We need to look at a few scriptures to make it very clear. The Bible said about eternal life is eternally secure. So we won't have time to spend on each session, but we just go through the Bible. You can go home and read it and meditate and enjoy what the Bible said if you have been saved. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, talk about the Holy Spirit as seal. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Holy Spirit as a seal, but not as a lease. If it can live, if the Holy Spirit can live, then the Holy Spirit is not a seal, but a temporary and erasable mark. But Holy Spirit as seal. It's very sure. It's a guarantee. Also, Christians are predestined and called and justified and be glorified. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to 30, it said, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." So those who has eternal life has already, before the foundation of the earth, has been chosen, predestined by the Lord. Very secure. They are predestined and called and justified and must be, will be glorified at the end. Very secure, very glorious, very blessed. The eternal security is not because of our own virtue or our own strength, but by God's working power. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "And I am sure of this," Paul said to Philippians church, "that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." God has started the good work. He will finish it. Not because of you, because of him. The security is not because of ourselves, but also his keeping power. In John chapter 6, verse 39 to 40, he said, "And this is the will of him who sent me," Jesus said this, "that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, that the Father has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus won't lose anyone who believes in him. Jude, verse 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. God is able to keep. Do you feel excited? If you truly believe, and if you truly save, you will feel excited. Or someday the Lord will reveal the truth more deeply in your heart, into my heart. How excited this is. The security is not because of ourselves, but by his loving power. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from God because of the love of Christ. Therefore, all Christians have a very bright destination, sure win. God will succeed, finishing his work in us. Bring his children into glory through the wonder of his grace for his glory. In order to bring us to glory, God will train and even discipline us. If you truly God's child, surely, the loving Father will discipline and train you. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 to 8, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. There is discipline, a sign of father and son relationship. Will be training, discipline. Death of David's first son to Bathsheba is a discipline. Paul's judgment and excommunication on the Corinthian brother marrying his stepmother is a discipline. Although there's a lot of discipline, not as severe as this example, but God surely disciplines us because he's our Father. Why do I speak on eternal security of salvation? Because it is important truth in the Bible. The Bible shows clearly the eternal life received is eternally secure. Nothing can separate God's child from God and his love. Christians are eternally secure. Eternal security of salvation gives us joy today. Each day when you and I wake up, have a new day. The eternal security of salvation enable us, help us to be able to give thanks to God. His wonderful, for his wonderful salvation. And strengthen us. He strengthen our sense and realization of our own identity in Christ as precious child of God, even when we are very weak. This eternal security takes away fear of rejection by God. Fear of forsaken by God. Even at the time of our weaknesses, even when we sin. It gives us strength to repent immediately back to God. Because of the security, we know that we can turn back to God from sin immediately and enjoy His forgiveness by Jesus' precious blood. Eternal security gives us real peace of mind, real peace, real sense of security, so that we can focus our attention to pursue knowing Him more and more. It also empowers us to face hardship or even suffering in this life on earth, which are only temporary and trivial compared with the great, wonderful, and eternal salvation from God. I'm working in finance area. We talk about investment. In your portfolio, if you have some investment, you lose money. But if you have another investment, you earn big money, do you care? You don't care so much. Because you... Yeah. Not sure in your life, do you have an experience that one area you did not do well, which caused you sadness? But another area, you did well. I mean, not because of you, but you did well, which caused you great joy or happiness. And then you end up sad or happy. Do you have this experience? You end up sad or happy. Half happy? Or still very happy? Because the area did well is very, very important. The area not well, badly, is okay. Because compared with the very good area, this is not very important. If you dream of migration and having permanent residency, and one day you find that you are fired by your boss, you lose your job. And then you find that day, you are granted permanent residency in Australia. What do you feel? What do you feel? You ignore the work being fired because you got the permanent residency you dream of. You don't have this feeling because most of you are born here. You have permanent residency. But for those brothers and sisters, they struggle. Or if you grow up and you go and buy a house now. You're arriving at the auction place with your old car broke down. But at the auction, you bought a very good house at very good value, cheaper than 100K than expected of market value. What do you feel? I think of one experience in my life. This year is the 30th anniversary of my marriage with Yvonne. I remember 30 years ago, Yvonne and myself had a crisis in our wedding preparation. This is related to Yvonne's wedding gown, the white wedding gown. We always call this a wedding gown crisis. The sales are very smart. She gave us two wedding gowns with different price to choose. you think what I choose? I choose the cheaper one. Because I think wedding gown only used once in your life, only once. After use, no use. Cheaper one. But you won't think
wedding gown used once in my life, only once, has to be the good one. So when we talk afterwards, when we talk about that, I say the cheaper one is good because we have a lot of expenses, you know, and we are not rich. And Yvonne, she was so angry. And she said, no wedding, no marriage. You know, when my brought up is, we live a very simple life, myself. Not Yvonne's family. Yvonne is, you know, middle class. Not very rich, but, you know, sufficient to enjoy life. My brought up, very, very simple. And my father give us the value is, we don't use money for physical comfort or material and outward good-looking vanity. Those things. We don't spend money. But my father will spend money on our health, education, equip yourself, learning. So very different value. Wedding gown, use one. Our thing. Of course, the cheaper one. But because when I heard Yvonne say no wedding, no marriage, straight away I say yes to the more expensive one. No need to think. Because I love to marry her so much. I love her. And we have full blessing from parents, you know, from brother and sister. They love us. They are very joyful because we come together. Because a wedding gown is a loss, quite a loss, but very trivial loss compared with marrying Yvonne. Very clear. I do that. I suffer loss happily and willingly. Because my gain is too big comparing with my loss. And later I find out, because my eyes is not very sensitive to colors, and Yvonne's eyes are very sharp, the cheaper one, later she told me, the color fade out. But my eye of color, sort of color, you know, not very clear. We have, for a real Christian, they have eternal security, great happiness, great joy, no hell, no condemnation, being precious child of God, to be made holy without blemish in identity and even experience by God's grace and work one day, to partake his divine nature and glory. Other earthly loss and hardship become relatively trivial. As the Bible says, for this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So in the above, we talk about, firstly, what is the saving faith in Jesus for me to receive eternal life. Secondly, is the eternal life I receive from God is eternally secure? Yes. Now we come to the third important question. How to know that I have eternal life? How to know that I have eternal salvation? How to have that assurance of salvation? Before we move on, we need to clarify that a genuine Christian might not necessarily know that he has eternal life. It is possible that a person having eternal life, but not knowing for sure he has eternal life. For example, there can be genuinely devout Christians before the time of Martin Luther. Didn't have the assurance of eternal security of salvation, but they are true Christians. they have eternal life. They love the Lord. Or in other words, some genuine children of God do not know for sure that they have eternal life that is eternally secure. We know from the end of the Gospel of John that the purpose of Apostle John writing the Gospel of John is to help people to believe in Jesus so that they have eternal life in John chapter 20. This is more related to our first question, which is how to believe in Jesus to have eternal life. To answer the question, how to know that we have eternal life, we need more help from the first letter of John, where Apostle John said very clearly in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. He said, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." Therefore, whereas the Gospel of John is to help a person to believe in Jesus so that he has eternal life, the first letter of John is to help a believer to know that he has eternal life. Although a genuine child of God won't lose his eternal life or salvation because he doesn't have the assurance of eternal salvation, even if he doesn't have the assurance, he won't lose because he is already a child of God. Even he doesn't have the assurance, but he won't lose. He's given the eternal life is his. Even then, but from the verse we have read, clearly sees that it is God's desire and the purpose of Apostle John writing first letter of John to his children, to God's children, to have the assurance, to be able to know that they have eternal life. Now, how to know? How to know? Let us read 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. "Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this, we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." Let us pay attention to the last sentence of that verse. "By this, we know that he abides in us." That means, by this, we know that we have God in us. We have the Holy Spirit in us. That means, by this, we have. But no, by this we know that we have eternal life. By this. By what? By the first sentence of the same verse. By keeping his commandments. So remember, if you are truly Christian, you need to keep God's commandments. Then you know, by this, you'd have the assurance of eternal security. The Bible says, because whoever keeps his commandments abides in God and God in him. That means whoever keeps his commandments has the eternal life of God. He can know that he has the eternal life of God. Not saying that we need to keep his commandment in order to gain his eternal life, not. A person have to have eternal life in order to be able to keep God's commandment. A person without eternal life can never keep his commandments. All those people can do is religious outward activities, not keeping God's commandment. That's why, by keeping his commandments, you can know that you have eternal life. Then we ask, keeping what commandments? Let us look at the commandment in the context of this verse, which is the previous verse 23. It says, and this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another, just as he has commanded us. The commandment in this verse has two parts. The first is believing in Jesus, and the second one is loving one another. By this, by keeping this commandment, you know you have eternal life. By what? By believing in Jesus and by loving one another. By continuously believing in Jesus and continuously loving one another, you know you have eternal life. Very clear. You have the assurance. So today my message has two purposes. If you don't have the saving faith in Jesus to receive eternal life, I encourage you. Seek Him. Seek God zealously, diligently, and ask Him, cry out to Him to reveal Himself to you so that you can believe in Him to receive eternal life. If you don't have, you will go to hell because of your sin. No matter how nice a person you are, no matter how young or how old you are. The second purpose is, if you say that you are already a Christian, I encourage you and myself to learn to love other children of God beside you. Love your brother. In the New Testament, your brother means who has the same eternal life as you have. Then he's your brother. This brother, because he has the life of the Son of God, he's a brother in Christ. This brother can be a male brother or a female brother. This brother can be an old brother or a young brother. Think about who is your brother. Think about which brother you can learn to love and keep God's commandment, loving your brother. If your parents are Christian, they are your brother. Your father is your elderly brother, male brother. Your mother is your elderly female brother. Love them. If your brother and sister in the family are Christian, love them. Love your brother, love your sister, love your believing sister or brothers in your family, in church, in meetings, in gathering, or outside gathering with other Christians. Learn to love your brother. For example, in the beginning, when I need to speak, I ask you to pray. If you love me, you will pray for me because I'm your brother. When we gather together, you see some brothers, some male brother, female brother, brother and sister serving. Learn to love them. Pray for them. You see the musicians play music. Every time serving us. Every time. Every Sunday. Learn to love them. Pray for them. Loving your brother. If you have children, believing children, love them with God's love, because they are your brother. Male young brother or female young brother. Ask the Lord help you learn to love your brother. If you don't want to love your brother, you don't have a desire to love your brother, you can't have the assurance of eternal salvation. You may have eternal life, but you can't have the assurance. But very possibly, if you don't have a desire, even a desire, to learn to love your brother, I doubt you have eternal life. Because the eternal life in you have a characteristic, have a desire to love other people, they have eternal life. Very natural. This is the nature of the eternal life. This nature can be small in you because the life in you hasn't grown mature, but you have a desire. Your attitude towards sin and Jesus change if you have eternal life. And your attitude towards other brother and brothers, they have eternal life, will change as well. As we learn to keep His commandment, the Holy Spirit in us. Verse 24, talk about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us will give us assurance as we learn to love our brother. Today we don't have time to look at the whole book of 1 John. But as we read it carefully, we see we can learn how, and we can know how to know that we have eternal life. How to know that we have the assurance. Anyone, if they have the assurance of eternal salvation, have the assurance from the Holy Spirit, they are clear. They are clear. They have eternal life. They belong to God forever. This person are very, very blessed. This person can enjoy the peace and enjoy of the salvation. No matter maybe the environment, our physical limitation, the hardship in the environment, or even our own weakness. When we think about the great salvation, great destination, we can be joyful in our daily life and know Him. So being a Christian can be more and more enjoyable, and we can enjoy God more. So I finished my sharing. Do you have any questions? Or comments? If not, let us pray. Now we come to you and we come to your great salvation. We thank you what you have done and what in your heart prepare for us. And may your own words in the Bible reveal yourself
and your heart desire to us, so that as we see the glorious work, the wonderful work you have accomplished in us and continues to accomplish this work, encourage us to focus on pursuing you and following you. We also pray that, Lord, among us, if we have some people, even they might be baptized, but hasn't really got the eternal life, Lord, we ask you to give them saving faith so that they can really have eternal life. And for those they have eternal life, we ask you, Lord, to help us to keep your commandment so that we know we have eternal life. Now we commit all this sharing to you. May the Holy Spirit reveal the truth in our hearts, so that we can live and love you for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.